I might go ahead and mention, too, that there may be some interest in regards to these electronic devices, in regards to Bible class, which I have absolutely no problem with. The only thing that I would request as a pastor, if you want to go that way, to make sure that whatever device you have does not have a keyboard. There's no clickety-clackety going on. Make sure it's a touch system that it's not, it's basically doesn't make sound. I know other churches are kind of going this direction. I could probably just stand to have a Bible here where I could pick out the verses by punching the nose, so you wouldn't have to wait on me and read all the wrong verses all the time. So anyway, I just want to make that clear. Again, I have no problem with it. Just make sure it's a type of device that is silent. So I want to go ahead and bring that out. And speaking of, keep your eyes on that building back there. It really is coming together. We're about at a point now we're going to put down the carpet. We've got some furnishings put in, a little electronics put in. And we should be able to start using it here, we're hoping, by 2015 or so. maybe here within a few weeks. Who knows? So keep it in your prayers. Keep tuned. There's people back there working on it. If you can afford some time to help and want to volunteer, feel free to do so. All right. Make sure you're in fellowship as we are looking here in regards to misrepresentation of prophecy. And here as it centers on the doctrine and prophecy of the rapture, one of the detrimental approaches is that it could happen at any time. We are looking at certain prophetic fulfillment of things that must occur before the rapture can happen that obviously disagrees or contradicts the false imminent position that believers and even those in the Eyes Church have taken. Obviously, one of the preeminent fulfillment of the prophecy is the necessity for Israel to be in the land as brought out in the fig tree parable, Matthew 24, that's point 11. The false Christ of wars, rumors of wars, famines, earthquakes, as Christ also taught there in the Matthew 24 passage. All signaling on in the beginning, point C. We'll see an unprecedented peace movement as the next verse, our next verse in the Thessalonians will bring out. B, you have to have certain political players in place and functioning. And as we looked at the USA in prophecy being the center of Britain via the prophecy of Daniel 7:4, it's got to be here, it's got to be functioning and set up in regards to this ultimate demise that occurs during the tribulational period. Then you have the Russian Confederacy. Again, these major political entities are brought out in Daniel. Here, Daniel 7:5. Which is code under the beast that is like a bear. Behold another beast, the second one, resembling a bear, which is the national icon of Russia. And it was raised up on one side, three ribs were in its mouth, between its teeth. Thus they said to it, arise, devour much meat. Looking at it, a bear on its side is being propped up. That is propping up is the economical propping up that our country is doing. And helping them rebuild their military and get everything together in that regards, because they are going to be the major national entity that helps do us in big time in that regards. And the three ribs reflect upon their involvement in the EU in that area of the world, and bearing much meat looks at their continued political agenda of conquest of others. People that think just because they've bitten into the capitalistic apple over the last decade or so because of their economy in that regard, that somehow they're less than that they become a democracy and are really promoting freedom, obviously do not stay up on the news of current events. You cannot badmouth their politicians yet today and expect to walk away from it scot-free, as a little rock band over there found out in a very fast way. if they were thrown in jail for making fun of lots of space over there. But anyway, names leave me, and sometimes I don't really care. Three, so you had the Russian Confederation, the Russian and their allies that will be part of the last day scenario. Three, obviously, Israel and Jerusalem, as it is regards to the fig tree. Another prophecy in that regards is Ezekiel. And one of the arguments, the reason why we bring out the Ezekiel passage, one of the arguments regards to our stand that Israel needs to be in place in this respect is that it comes back that, well, they're in unbelief, so it doesn't count. Well, prophecy says that's how they would be reestablished. So, yes, it does count. So, Ezekiel 37:1-14, which is the vision, prophecy of the Valley of Dry Bones, where bones represent the human makeup, skeletal makeup in regards to Israel as a nation, and how this would come about. Then the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. And that looks at the bones being dead. That looks at and emphasizes the dispersion of Israel in 70 AD. And he caused me to pass among them around about, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley. And they were very, very dry, denoting their spiritual condition, as well as their national and political condition. He said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" So they're dead. That looks at Israel in unbelief, the reason why they're in dispersion. And I answered, "O Lord God, you know. You know the future." And he said to me, "Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you that you may come to life. And I will fix sinews on you, make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin, put breath in you that you may come alive, and you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise. Behold, a rattling, and bones came together, bone to his bone. So it comes together, first and foremost, form with respect to being simply dry, if you will, brittle bones. And it is yet to have life, but it comes together in this condition. And I looked, and behold, sinews were on them, and flesh grew, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. So it looks at the formation of them as once again being a body. And that looks at corporate Israel nationally in that respect. But spiritually, there is no life yet, as we know. Israel still is in reversionism today, even though they're in the land today. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they come to life." And that emphasizes salvation adjustment that will be made by the remnant. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came to them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Verse 11-14. Then he said to me, "Son of man, behold, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is perished. We are completely cut off. Therefore prophesy, say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves. My people and I will bring you to the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord." And that pictures resurrection of the Old Testament saints, etc., in Israel, in regards to the millennial period. At least looks forward to it. Then, as well as their own spiritual awakening, then you will know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves, my people. And I'll put my spirit within you, and you will come to life, and I will place you on your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and done it, declares the Lord. Also, 38, 14, and 15. Therefore prophesy, son of man, and say to God, thus says the Lord to God, on that day when my people Israel are living securely, will you not know it? He will come from your place out of the remote parts of the north, you and your many peoples with you, all them riding on horses, the great assembly and a mighty army. Will come up against my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land, denoting Russia coming in with other nations. That towards the end of the tribulation, all centered on the fact of the Antichrist seeking to secure and destroy Jerusalem and at least Israel. It will come about in the last day that I shall bring you against my land, in order that the nations may know me when I shall be sanctified through you before their eyes, O God. God is code there for Russia. Armies of the north. And the reason why God does that is on behalf of His name. It's on behalf of His name. So for the Orient Confederation with this massive army, that's Daniel 7:6. Behold another beast, the second one. After this, I kept looking, verse 6. Behold, another one like a leopard, which had on his back four wings of a bird. The beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. So you have a confederation, clearly, a national confederation clearly presented there. And that is the Auric Confederation with its massive armies, all brought in together. They're mentioned also in Revelation 9, 13 through 16. Regards to their army, and the sixth angel sounded in regards to the sixth trumpet, which looks at the army from the east. And I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, one saying to the sixth angel, his trumpet release, four angels who are bound to the great river Euphrates. The four angels have been prepared for the hour and day and month and year for release, so that they might kill a third of mankind. Angels of destruction. And the number of the armies of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. 200 million army, man army. And probably women at that time. As we looked at that when we went through Revelation. So that looks at the Chi-Com Confederation, which Chinese communists are still the hardcore communists on this planet. All you got to do is look at Korea and see that. North Korea, etc. So, not sure exactly who the four wings of the birds are, which countries that will entail, but it looks like North Korea would be one of them. They have, obviously, nuclear capabilities along with Red China itself. So that must be all in place. Five, you obviously have to have the Roman Catholic Church in its final representation, final form of the mother-son cult, which she is the religious Babylon, brought out of Revelation 17, verse 1, and one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and spoke with me, saying, come here, I'll show you the judgment of the great harlot, great whore, who sits on many waters. That sits on many waters looks at their existence on nations throughout the world. And Roman Catholicism has infiltrated essentially almost every nation. So this is the religious entity with whom the kings of the earth committed acts of immorality. Those who dwell on the earth were made drunk with the wine of her immorality. Through their system of religion, people can be immoral and yet get absolution and move on, pay some ducks and move on. I'm forgetting that type of deal. That's why mobsters like to be Catholics. God's blessing on them because they give the church a bunch of money. Carried me away in the spirit of the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, full of blasphemous names, having seven heads and ten horns. And a woman motif is totally apropos in regards to Roman Catholicism. It's all the guys wear dresses anyway. and you ever figure out why their attire is the way it is. They're worshiping the queen. Does that make them a queen? Here I go again. And the woman was clothing in purple and scarlet. Obviously, she represents the spiritual prostitute that she is. Adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls and all the money that they have acquired and amassed over the centuries. They still go out in third world countries, in nations that people are so poor that you can't even put food on the table, and want money from them instead of helping them truly. You know, it's all about money and power. Good grief. I went in one of her brothels not long ago for a wedding, and you see the wealth in their buildings. Call their church brothel. I'll make some good friends today. Had in her hand a gold cup full of abominations of unclean things of her immorality. Upon her forehead a name was written, a mystery, of Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth, as they are instrumental in mixing religiosity and paganism into, they took the propensity for pagans in any way in the early church and organized into a religious way and really put it in a full ball of wax in a religious form. So, and therefore, she is a mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Paganism that she makes us where all of our holidays, Christmas and Easter, all this stuff comes from Roman Catholicism. No, the Fundies didn't make that up. It came from Roman Catholicism. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints, as they had been known and history reveals they've killed otherwise other Christians who stood against their Catholic beliefs. The Inquisition period. With the blood of the witness of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered greatly. Wow, you know, this religious monstrosity appears in human history with the name of Christianity across it. Yeah, you're looking into the future for that point in time from John's perspective. Yeah, I'm wondering too. Wow. That's how evil this world is. So, the angel said to me, "Why do you wonder? I shall tell you the mystery of the woman and the beast that carries her, which has 7 heads and 10 horns. The beast that carries her looks at the world powers that have existed in representation of a one world religion, of which Roman Catholicism is the final form of this. And again, beginning with the mother-son cult, all the way back from the Tower of Babel, including Nimrod, Tammuz, etc., his wife and their son, which a lot of that pagan belief comes from that. It stems from that period. And these beasts carry her, and this looks at these empires that sought to promote a one world religion, if you will. The beast that you saw was and is not, was about to come up out of the abyss, that's the Antichrist. So we know that he existed pre-John, not during John, and he will exist again post-John. And he is obviously an unbeliever, comes up out of hell. So is someone resuscitated. And as we've identified, the best candidate in that regards is Alexander the Great. To go to destruction. Those who dwell on the earth, verse 8, will wonder, whose name has not been written in the book of life, the negative believers, from the foundation world when they see the beast that he was and is not and will come. As he will imitate a resurrection. But it's only resuscitation. Here is the mind which has wisdom. And if you want to try to figure these things out in regards to identifying the Antichrist, then here's your clues. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sits. 7 one world religious empires seek to promote. They are seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must remain a little while. And seven heads, seven mountains, etc., represent Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome. And then you have the revived Roman Empire, of which the Antichrist will become a part of and head the last days. And the beast, which is and is not, is himself also an eighth, which refers back to the Daniel prophecy in Daniel 7, 8, and 20. Is one of the seven, and he goes to destruction. As we know, he will be cast into the lake of fire along with false prophet. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings which have not yet received the kingdom. They received authority as kings with the beast for 1 hour. And that is the European Union, as it will ultimately pan out in form in the last days during the time of the Antichrist. They have, these have one purpose, and they give their power and authority to the beast. One world rule. The euro will stand. Alright. And then, obviously, I didn't finish reading that, sorry. Verse 14, these will wage war against the Lamb. The Lamb will overcome them because he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and these, those who are with him, are all called and chosen and faithful. So they're all in bed together on this in regards to the satanic scheme and design of things, even though they may be separate entities overall. And he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the ten horns which you saw, the beast, these will hate the harlot and will make her desolate and naked, will eat her flesh, will burn her up with fire. The Antichrist will have no tolerance in regards to any opposition to his claim as being Messiah and being the one world God and religion. And obviously brings about the fact that Roman Catholicism does not fit his bill in support of his person. They will meet their end as a religious organization. For God has put it in their hearts, verse 17, to execute his purpose by having a common purpose, by giving their kingdom to the beast until the words of God should be fulfilled. That common purpose is political and economical support, as well as religious support. So you have zealots coming up here in a whole different brand. As they will attack Roman Catholicism. That's another thing to think about. And the woman whom you saw is the great city which reigns over the kings of the earth, that is Rome. She's had her political influence throughout history. Brought about, initialized through Constantine during the Roman Empire. So, 16, you had the Roman, revived Roman Empire. Again, also known as the EU. Daniel 7, 23 through 26. Reference back to the verse we read in regards to the beast being the eighth. In Roman Daniel 7, 8, while I was contemplating the horns, behold, another horn, a little one came up among them, and three of the first horns were pulled out by the roots before it. Behold, this horn possessed eyes like eyes of man and mouth uttering great boasts. That's the Antichrist. And he's eighth. And he will undo three of countries, consolidate them slowly and take away their sovereignty during this period of time for his own reasons in that regard. So for explanation there, they're trying to help keep these things together. At the end, verses 23 through 26, in regards to the beast, this, thus he said, the fourth beast will be a fourth kingdom on the earth, which will be different from all other kingdoms. That's because it's under the form of Antichrist, and it will devour the whole earth and tread it down and crush it. As for the 10 horns, out of this kingdom, 10 kings will rise. Another will rise after them. He will be different from the precious ones and will subdue 3 kings. Again, that reiterated. Antichrist and the EU. And he will speak out against the Most High, wear down the saints of the highest one. And he will intend to make alterations in times and in law. He will rewrite history, rewrite the code of existence for mankind throughout this planet. And that's his attempts, his agendas. They will be given into his hand for a time, times, and half a time. And that's 3.5 years of the tribulation in which he will have this complete control, if you will. And that's when he establishes his image in the temple of Jerusalem. But the court will sit for judgment, and his dominion will be taken away, annihilated, and destroyed forever. And again, Revelation 13. Verses 1 through 10 deal with the Antichrist. And his association with the EU, the revived Roman Empire. He stood on the sand of the seashore as Satan. And I saw a beast coming up out of the sea as humanity, the world, having 10 horns and 7 heads, 10 nations, 7 rulers. And on his horn were 10 diadems, and on his head were blasphemous names. The beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like those of a bear, his mouth like a mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power to the throne and great authority, denoting really a consolidation of these great political entities at the end, and assimilation, if you will, in regards to God setting the stage for the Antichrist in history through these nations to perform all the desires and intent and plan of Satan in this respect. Anyway, and I saw one of his heads as if it had been slain, and his fatal wound was healed. And the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast. Headshot generally is a death shot. And he will basically die and raise from the dead over this thing. And that will be one of the misleading, things that are brought out for those who are negative to fall for him. That he has power over life. That's what his claim will be. And they worship the dragon because he gave his authority to the beast, though they may not recognize that they're Satan. That's what they will be doing. And they worship the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast and who is able to wage a war with him?" Noting the military power that Satan gives him for his reign. It was given to him a mouth speaking arrogant words and blasphemies. Authority after 42 months was given to him. Again, 3.5 years, and he opened his mouth and blasphemes against God, blasphemed his name and his tabernacle. That is, those who dwell in heaven. He will really come down rampant upon believers and their belief, their ideologies. This man Jesus was in the sun. That's just a clock. Already, he's establishing the human viewpoint that religion is a real problem in regards to conflict, in regards to this world. You hear more and more, if you listen astutely, in regards to news, religion is a real problem. It's always caused conflict. Yeah, idiot. Oh, there it goes again. Sorry about that. And it was given to him to make war with the saints, verse 7, and to overcome them, and authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him, every one whose name has not been written in the foundation of the world, in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain. anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is destined for captivity, to captivity he goes. If anyone kills with the sword, he must be killed. Here is the perseverance and faith of the saints. So during that period of time, believers got to be acclimated in regards to what God's will is for them, whether they're going to be martyred out or not, et cetera, et cetera. Then, in association with the false, with the Antichrist, you had the false prophet. The Antichrist is Gentile, homosexual tendencies. The false prophet is Jewish. I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb. And he spoke as a dragon. And he exercised all the authority of the first beast in his presence. So he's basically his voice and his false forerunner. You see the imitations going on. And he's given great authority, great power. All obviously orchestrated through satanic worship. And presence as well as possession of the Antichrist eventually. And he makes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose fatal wound was healed. So this person will have an office commission, a ministry, if you will, over religious and political ideology in regards to the Antichrist. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down out of heaven into the earth to the presence of men. He sees those who dwell on the earth because of signs which it was given to him to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who had the wound of the sword and has come to life. There was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast might even speak and cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. That looks at the image that's established in the temple in Jerusalem during the tribulation. The tribulational temple. And the artificial intelligence that will be a part of his possession and ability in regards to the image itself. And he causes all the small and the great and the rich and the poor, the free men, the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. So he's also in charge of the economic ministry of the world. And that mark, obviously, formed with computer chips or whatever they will use at that point in time. Already these chips for identification purposes are all over the world now. What was sci-fi 2 decades ago is reality today. We'll begin with your animals. They won't hurt them. Now we need your kids so we can protect them for you. Crap. That's what makes me want to say crap. But anyway, all causes all the small and the great and the rich and the poor, free men and slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. He provides that no one should be able to buy or sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here's wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for the number is that of a man. His number is 666. Alright, sub-point E. Obviously, you must have the rise of the great merchants and the latter rains mentioned in James 5, 1 through 7. All these things must be in place. Noting that there will be conglomerate of latter-day rich that will be involved in the last days. These are private corporations, their owners that carry great influence, if not directly dictating national and foreign policy in regards to countries. everything that's going on in our country right now and other countries. They dictate these policies through their special interest groups, their lobbying, and all these other things, lining the pockets of our politicians. And so they can have their way, so they can go in and make their money, make our country wealthier. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries which are coming upon you. There are people out there that are so filthy rich, you couldn't, if you had 100 years of this in this world, you probably could count all of them if you physically had to go in and do it. Your riches have rotted and your garments have become moth-eaten. But they'll meet their day too. They're not going to escape the judgment. Most of these people are residents of this country. And this is where their riches are kept and protected. Your gold and your silver have rusted. Their rust will be a witness against you. The only way those precious metals would rust that way is through nuclear hazards. And will consume your flesh like fire. It is in the last days you have stored up your treasure. Behold, the pay of the laborers who mowed your fields and which has been withheld by you cries out against you. The outcry of those who did the harvesting has reached the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath of the armies. You have lived luxuriously on the earth and have led a life of wanton pleasure. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You want to see the wealth, you get YouVerse, you can watch wealth TV, that channel. Man, it shows you really what kind of money's out there. You see these harbors full of these yachts worth millions of dollars a piece. You go, where's all this money at? And that's just one little harbor. Yet it's spread around the world. If you're on the inner circles, you're kissing the right you-know-whats. You got your connections. You can be that wealthy. The jet setters of our time. But anyway, they represent this conglomerate of super wealthy, super rich people. Some of those jobs cost more to operate in a week than most of us make in a year. You have condemned and put to death the righteous man. He does not resist you because he's here simply to live a quiet, peaceful life. He's not the one that's going to come up and be the rebellious one. The movement against Wall Street and all these other types that are out there. And then following that, you must have a period of not only early rains, which is the outflow of sound Bible doctrine early on in the church, but the latter rains. This says you need the proper amount of rain for a good harvest in regards to farming and agriculture. So you see this simile used in regards to the last days and sound doctrine. So you have to have the latter rains. That has to be fulfilled. Be patient, therefore, brothers. That's verse 7, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the farmer wastes the precious produce of the soil. Be impatient about it until it gets the early, that would be apostolic period, and latter and late rains. It doesn't mean that there's not rain in between, but there's a couple of periods that personify, if you will, a corporate temperature of sound doctrine being taught. And that began in the apostolic period, and obviously it reached into the period of persecution by the church, as we saw in the seven churches. Then the latter rains is represented in its era in regards to the Church of Philadelphia, which then, from that era, you enter into the Laodicean lukewarm period. You still have rains, as you have sound churches still providing doctrine. God always provides sound doctrine throughout history. And you always find a string, the Bible supports, you always find a string of positive listening throughout history, even though they're not the ones being recognized by the world. That's one of the things, as I've mentioned and worked through my own thinking in regards to the seven churches, where these six of the errors are just, you know, they're through history. You can see, these existed. The early church, the persecution, Roman Catholicism, the Reformation, and the last days. But the Philadelphia, you don't really have a history. But that's because you're not going to see it. You're not going to know this in time. Men are not going to recognize that they're, at this point in time in history, there was sufficient independent local churches teaching sound doctrine that God gave the church universally a corporate stamp of approval. And then from that, obviously, you have a remnant that will continue on to the Laodicean period and continue to provide sound doctrine out of that. that occurred just before the period of Laodicea, in my opinion, is short and very brief in that respect. So you had the latter rains. F, then you had the potential for a worldwide monetary system. Can you say central bank? You have central banks being established almost in every nation, especially any nation with any power or any economics attached to it. And who are they answerable to? It's called the World Bank. They are simply the strings attached to the hub. Amazing. We go in and we undo Saddam Hussein and Iraq, and what's the first thing that occurs over there? They establish a central bank. Economically, that's what they did. So, the people involved in Chase and our other Fed people here were all involved in that system. It doesn't take that much research to figure this stuff out. And so you have a worldwide monetary system that's developed through, it's being developed and had been developed through the central bank system, the World Bank, of which obviously the Antichrist then gets control over and is headed as his chief executive officer through the false prophet, of which then the monetary system of taking the mark of the beast and only being able to do business in this way is then a reality in regards to this world. G, you have political, religious apostasy and rampant STA activity, simply in general. And let's just call it quits here. I'm going to ask Father, again, we thank you for the truth of the word. We ask God the Holy Spirit to guide us through these things in Jesus' name. Amen.